Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Jesus would often be challenged by the Pharisees and the religious people of their day. And one of the problems they had with him was the people he associated with. In this verse in Luke here, it says tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. You know, if you sit down and eat with someone, it really is kind of honoring. And it'd be like you going to Papacito's one day and you look up and you see me sitting at another table. You go, is that Pastor Allen? Yeah, I think it is. I think, yeah, it's him. He's a lot smaller than he looks on stage, but I think that's... Who's he eating with? Well, I think those are the two biggest drug dealers in Montgomery County. See, that's kind of the... You think, what's he doing eating with those people? Is he going back to drugs? That's how rumors start, right? But Jesus would eat, and tax collectors and sinners would come, and Jesus would eat with them, and the Pharisees had a problem with that. They didn't like that. And so Jesus had a story. I want to tell you a story. Everybody likes stories. So he told them a story. He said, a man had 100 sheep, and he lost one of them. He left 99 in the wilderness, and he goes and he finds the one sheep that was lost. When he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders. He comes home rejoicing. He tells all his friends, hey, rejoice with me. I found my sheep. He said, heaven rejoices more over one sinner that repents over 99 that need repentance. Amen. And I'm sure all the Pharisees were like, sheep. Sheep are good. He said, a woman had 10 coins. These coins were silver coins. They were really expensive. He said she had 10 coins and she lost one. You ever lost money or lost your wallet or lost your purse or something? Man, you will clean the house out to find it. And she cleaned the house out and she found it. When she finds it, she calls her friends and said, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. And Jesus said, heaven rejoices more over one sinner who comes back. And I'm sure all the Pharisees are going, sheep have value. Silver coins have value. And then Jesus flips the script on them. He tells them about a father who had two sons. He said, and the younger son comes to the father and says, Father, I want my share of the inheritance now, before you die. Now, understand in Jewish culture, in effect, they're saying in Jewish culture, what this was like was the younger son looking at the father saying, I wish you were dead. That hits hard. The fact that he's the younger son, that didn't go over well. And then he takes it and he cashes out family inheritance. Jewish people weren't supposed to sell their lands. Maybe he sold some of the lands, but he gathered everything up, cashed out, took his money and goes to a far country. Well, if you go to a far country, you've gone into Gentile country. This is not where Jewish people live. This is where Gentiles live. And the Jewish people didn't like Gentiles anyway. And when he goes there, he doesn't start a franchise business. He parties hard, blows through all of his money. Just look straight ahead, guys. I'm not talking to you. I don't counsel with you. He blows through all of it. So now you got the Pharisees going, man has no value at all. Oh, and then it gets worse. Famine hits that area. It's like an economic depression. He can't find a job, so he goes to work for a pig farmer. Jewish people don't eat pig. Pork chops, links, nuh-uh. Considered unclean. So now this boy has blown through his dad's money on wild living, and now he's working for a pig farmer, and the pig farmer won't give him anything, and he's hungry, so he thinks what the pigs are eating looks good to him. So the question is, does this young man have any value. You see, it's easy to figure out that a sheep has value and that a coin has value, but someone who is messed up, no value there. Isn't it easy to look at people sometimes and go, no value there. The way they live, what they've done, there's no value there. We just did a funeral last week for a young man who grew up here in the church. His name was Cedric. Cedric was a blessing. He was just a bright spot. And they were telling stories about Cedric. It was a big funeral. 23 years old, and over 500 people were at this funeral. And so they were telling stories about Cedric. My favorite story was his aunt. So we used to, she said, Cedric and I used to go to this one gas station. She said, and a homeless man would come out and pump gas, probably trying to earn a few bucks. And when she went and got her gas, and he came out, pumped her gas, and the homeless man said, "Where's our man?" She said, "He passed." And the homeless man ducked his head, and he went, "Oh." He looked at her and said, "You know, he was the only person who ever called me mister and brought honor to my name." Easy sometimes to look at people and go, no value there. But God values people. And Jesus in this parable begins to give us a picture of what God thinks, even of people who make mistakes, people who mess things up. Jesus begins to tell the story. He said, when he, talking about the younger son, finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. Son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him, and get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with the feast, for this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now is found.' So the party began." And I like this story. This young man wound up in a bad place. Bible said when he came to his senses, finally woke up and he went, "This is no way to live." But you know what? He had some barriers, some mental and emotional barriers that he had to get past to go home. First one is deception. He could have thought to himself, it'll turn around. I'll get it turned around. Economy will come back. I'll get it going again. But he was starving. Second thing he had to deal with was pride. Say, when you go home, you got to face everybody. It's like, "Hey, man, where you been?" "Partying?" "Yeah, have you moved? "No, I'm back." And that's hard. To admit you're wrong, to admit that you need your father, pride, that'll keep you away. Maybe fear. Fear that maybe his dad wouldn't take him back. You know, in Jewish culture, it's not uncommon for a father just to disown a son who did something like this. Maybe he was afraid that his dad wouldn't accept him again, wouldn't take him back. But the son knew one thing about his father. He knew his father was good. He said, "I know the hired servants of my father. I know they are taken care of. I know that they're eating. I'm starving. They're eating. I'll go home. I won't expect to be a son again. Just make me like a servant." You know, people today, we still deal with barriers, mental, emotional barriers that keep us away from God. Here's the first one is deception. Deception is, "No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Man, I know I'm a whole lot better. I know this guy that goes to church, but I'm a whole lot better than they are." Joy's birth father told her. She told him about the Lord. Birth father told her. He said, in my next life. I haven't been good in this life, but in my next life, I'll be good. And I thought, no, even the beer commercials in the 60s and 70s had it right. Schlitz used to say, you only go around once in life. They were right. You only go around once. You don't get, that's deception to think, I'm going to get another chance. I get to come back. That's a deception. That's a lie. You got to get past that. How about pride? Pride loves to say, I got this. I got this. Let me tell you something. None of us got this. All of us have sinned and come short of God's glory. All of us need a Savior. None of us got this. I didn't got this. You didn't got this. None of us got this. We needed someone to say, I paid the price. He paid the price for me. None of us. And it takes some humility to say, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need somebody in my life who can save me, and it's not me. I don't got this. And then the last one is fear. Now, I've heard people express this before. Alan, you don't realize what I've done. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. You don't know what I've done in my past life. And I want to tell you, and I want to say to them, but you don't know the goodness of God, and you don't know the sacrifice that Jesus made, and you don't know the power of His blood. And fear will oftentimes keep people from coming to God, that He won't forgive them. It's too much. There was a story I heard a few years ago about two kids. One of them was named their brother and sister, about 8, 9 years old, Carter and Courtney. And they were staying with grandma and grandpa on their farm out in the country during the summer. Go stay the whole summer. Man, they got to ride horses, and it was just a great place. And grandpa bought Carter a slingshot. And Carter, man, he loved that slingshot, so he couldn't have one in the city. He's out there, and he's knocking bottles and cans over. He gets tired of knocking bottles and cans over. And he sees, way off in the distance, he sees a duck. But it wasn't just any duck. It was Grandma's pet duck. It was her favorite duck. And he's thinking, nah, I'm too far away. He rears back, perfect shot. Hits the duck in the head. The duck falls over dead. He's like, oh, my gosh. And he runs over and picks the duck up, dead duck. Takes the duck, he sticks it in the wood pile, hides it, and he goes back up to the house, and Courtney's standing on the steps. She said, I saw what you did. He's like, ugh. After dinner, Grandpa said to Carter, Carter, I bet the fish are biting. Let's you and I go down, take a pole or two, stick it in the water. Let's see if we can catch some fish. Carter said, yeah. And Courtney, he said, Courtney, honey, you stay here and help Grandma with the dishes. Courtney spoke up. She said, Carter said he'd rather help Grandma with the dishes while I went fishing. And Carter said, I did not. And she said, remember the duck. And Carter said, yeah, I'll help Grandma with the dishes. Next morning after breakfast, Grandfather said, hey, Carter, let's go down to the barn, check on the horses. I think we got a new foal in there. I want you to see them. And we'll make sure everything's doing good. And Courtney will stay here with Grandma. I think she's cleaning up the house. And Courtney's going to stay and help clean up. And Carter's like, yeah. And Courtney spoke up again and said, Carter says he would rather stay here and clean with Grandma and let me go down to the barn. Carter's like, ah. And Courtney said, the duck. And Carter went, no, I'll stay here with Grandma. So they left and go down to the barn. And he's with Grandma. And finally, Carter's had enough. He broke down. He said, Grandma, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do it, but I had the slingshot. I saw your duck is a long way away. I thought, boom, I shot him. Boom, the duck in the head. Duck died. Grandma said, I know, sweetheart. He said, you know? She said, yeah, I was standing in the kitchen window. I saw the whole thing. She said, honey, I forgave you in my heart the moment that happened. She said, I just want to see how long you let Courtney keep you in bondage. How long are you going to let the enemy keep you in bondage over the fact that you can't be forgiven? How long are you going to let him hold you in bondage over the fact that God's not good enough to forgive you of whatever you've done in your past? And it is over and done with him. He's already forgiven you. All you have to do is just go and receive it. That's all. You see, the Bible says that God is good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all who call upon him. Lamentations says this is a classic. This I recall to my mind. He said, therefore I have hope. He's thinking about the goodness of God. Through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Listen, you cannot ever discount the goodness of God. People may not forgive, God forgives. The son was restored, not as a servant. He was restored as a son. Now, when we see this, he said the father was looking for the son. He loved that boy. He was looking for him, saw him coming a long way off, and he ran. Now, a couple of things wrong with that. To the Middle Eastern mind, a man, a distinguished man, to be running and sprinting, that means you have to lift up his robe and run, was considered beneath their dignity. But this is the only time in the scriptures that we see God run. But there was another thing. Jewish culture again said that if you, a son, took the inheritance and wasted it and shamed the family, they actually had a ceremony called a kazaza. And they would take an earthen pot and they would take it to the young man. They would throw the pot on the ground. They would shatter it and they would call it cut off. And the whole community would shun him. But this father ran and got to him before the community could ever get to him. And he gets to him and he throws his arms around him. The boy had to smell like pig stink. And he throws his arms around him and he kissed him. He still loved this boy. And the boy starts to repent. He's like, Father, I've sinned. I've sinned against heaven and against you. He said, just make me a servant. But the father did more than that. He didn't make him a servant. He restored him as a son. Now, he brought him three things. He said, give him a ring. A ring signified authority. That was the family ring. That's almost like having the family credit card. You could buy things with that ring, that signet ring. The robe indicated status. You had a fine robe. You were a person of status. And only sons and family wore sandals. All the servants went barefooted. So he restored this man. He said, we're going to have a feast. He wasn't celebrating what the boy had done. He was celebrating the fact that the boy was back and the relationship had been restored. That's what the father was celebrating. You know, today God celebrates and still rejoices. He receives and rejoices over people who return, over souls who come back to him. The father rejoices in that. He said, well, I've made mistakes. And I got great news for you. There's a great verse. It's 1 John 1:9. I don't even have to look at this verse. I know this one because I've used this one a lot. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, I've told this story before, but to me, it's the most poignant story for me of what forgiveness looks like. Matthew was my most adventurous child. And in the Woodlands, they have a sewer system, and Matt would like to run through when he was 8 or 9. He'd run through the sewer system, man. He found every sewer in the Woodlands. And sewers are nasty. And we're sitting there having dinner one evening, and we tried to call him, couldn't reach him. And we had a big plate glass window. We're eating, all of a sudden, he shows up at the plate glass window. The brother is covered in sewer stink. He looked horrible. I didn't look at him and go, your son looks nasty. We didn't look at him and go, I have no idea who that is, but he's not my son. No, this was our son. This was our child. We loved him. Even though he was covered in sewer stink, we loved him. So what we did was, I walked outside. I said, strip down to your underwear. He got down to his underwear. I took the hose and just hosed him off. And then we got a big fluffy towel and dried him off. Then he put some clean clothes on and he sat down and ate. We did not disown him. We did not demote him. We didn't tell him we didn't love him anymore. And that's exactly what happens when you come to God and you confess your sins to him. He cleanses you of all unrighteousness. And you get to stand before him clean. You're still a child of God. You don't have to get born again, again, and again, and again. You come to him and he cleanses you of all unrighteousness. What a good deal. You know, if the story ended right there, because now they're having a feast, they're having a party, the story ended right there, we could go, what a great story. But Jesus was not done talking to these Pharisees. And he had something for them, because what we see Jesus next is reveal how man's religion thinks. It was the older brother. The older brother came to the house and he heard a party going on. He's like, man, I hear music. I hear dancing. I smell brisket. I smell ribs. What's happening? One of the servants said, oh, your younger brother came and your father is rejoicing that he's received him back again, alive and back. And he's back in the family. He's received him. And so we're throwing a party. And this is what older brother was angry. Older brother was angry. He wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. Stop right there. Anybody believe that? You ever heard those people said, when I grew up, I never got spanked because I never did anything wrong. You lying between your teeth. I never refused to do a single thing you told me. A lot of self-righteousness there. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours, even call him his brother, the son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you've always stayed by me and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found. Jesus is talking, but he's talking directly to the Pharisees. Because he's saying, this is how you guys think. This is how man's religion think. Man's religion doesn't want the sinner coming back. Man's religion only wants people who are perfect. Man's religion says, and he's angry, your son has done wrong. Why are we celebrating for that? God is not good. God is not fair. God is always good and always fair and always just. He wasn't celebrating what the son did. He's celebrating the fact that his son was back and his son was alive and his relationship was restored. That's what God values, because God values people, not what they've done. He values them, and he values and rejoices in lives that are saved and restored. A number of years ago when we had the church, we were over in a roller rink, and it was hot because we didn't have enough air conditioning, and so we had fans set up. And I had the bright idea that we would call every third Sunday casual Sunday. And it was the most well-attended Sunday we had over the entire month. So I finally brightened up. And the next summer, we called it casual summer, which means you just come casually. Because when we started off, guys, we were all coat and tie and dresses. And so, man, we said, okay, it's going to be casual summer. We're still in casual summer. That's been since 1998. We just never got out of it. So endless summer. So we were there and a girl came in. You could tell she had a background that probably wasn't too churchy. She wasn't church broke. And so she came in and she had a great attitude. She started helping us sell cassette tapes. We would sell cassette tapes of the services. You couldn't download anything. You had cassette tapes. And she would help us sell. But then I found out that she disappeared. I didn't see her. And I found out that some ladies in the church took it upon themselves to share with her that what she was wearing was not appropriate for church. And she stopped coming. And that bothered me. That broke my heart. I began to think, what are we doing here? I heard a story this past week of a pastor. What he expressed was exactly what I felt. He said he was a youth pastor in a rural part of the country. He was 22 years old. And he said he said every Wednesday he'd walk across the street from the church, had a Papa John's. He'd buy pizza to bribe some of the local kids who wouldn't come to church. He'd bribe them with free pizza. He said every time he'd go in there was a guy who was working there. He said you could tell he had a rougher life. He said he was missing some teeth and probably, he said, it did kind of look like maybe it had been drug use. His shirt, he had a Papa John's shirt, and he was just kind of covered with grease, and his jeans had holes, and it wasn't the fashionable kind of holes. It was holes of being worn out, and he kind of had a smell to him. this youth pastor said, I just like the guy. So every Sunday, every Wednesday, he said, I would invite him to come to church with me on Sunday. Every Wednesday, I'd invite him. He said, hey, me and my wife are new and we don't have anybody to sit with. Come sit with us. So finally, the guy said, I'll come this Sunday. I'm all in. And this youth pastor said, great. He said, I'll meet you in the lobby. 20 minutes. He's in the lobby. He doesn't see him. 10 minutes. He doesn't see him. Church starts. He doesn't see him. 10 minutes after, he's thinking, I work here. I've got to get in. And he goes in and the guy never showed. The next Wednesday, he went back and he saw him. He said, bro, I missed you, man. Where were you? And the guy said, I came. He said, I had to do a shift after church, and so I wore my Papa John's shirt. He said, when I got to the door right outside the lobby, he said, a man met me in a suit. He said, son, don't you have anything else to wear? And Yeshua said, no. He said, son, here, we wear God's best to God's house. And he told the youth pastor, I went and sat in my car, and I just wept. Pastor said, man, when I heard that, I thought, man, he talked about how that made him feel. And I understand exactly how it made him feel. You see, when we dropped suit and tie here, we just told people, you come as you are. We're dead serious about come as you are. Because if you want to come to Jesus, you just listen, here's the dress code at the Ark. Just wear clothes. That's all we care about. Just wear clothes. And here's another thing. You don't have to get your life fixed before you come in here. Because if you come in here, you're going to look around at a whole lot of other people, and they ain't perfect either. There's no perfect people here. There's forgiven people here. There's saved people here. There's redeemed people here. No perfect people. And as long as I'm pastor of this church, come as you are, is going to be how we work it here. You bring the lost. You bring the addicted. You bring the ones with problems. They got world stink on them. But we're not people that reject them. We're a church that runs to them and embraces them and says, you're here. This is where you come. Jesus values people. And we value people. We're not asking about your background. We're not checking your credentials before you come in this place. You just come to Him. And we believe very strongly in the power of the new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a... Old things have, and all things have become new. Would you bow your heads for a moment? If you came in this morning and you said, Alan, I don't... even though if I have a relationship, I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord, but I want to be sure. Or maybe you're like I was, or maybe you're like this young man. You were in, but you got out, and now you realize, man, I want to come back. I got great news for you. The Lord is so wanting you to come back, so wanting you to come in. He loves you so much. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. But if that's you this morning who are saying, hey, listen, I want to come to the Lord. I want to come back to Him. Would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up just real quick across this auditorium? Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Wonderful. Thank you. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You're thinking, I missed it. Well, God sees hands. He sees hearts. You can pray this prayer with us. We're going to pray it out loud. If you're online, obviously I can't see you, but listen, if you're online and you're by yourself, pray this out loud with us. If you're with other people, pray quiet. We're going to pray with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Head still bowed just for a moment. Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer, for those who stepped out of spiritual darkness into light, and for those who've come back home. I know you're happy. I know heaven's happy. We're happy that they made that decision. For the rest of us, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that there's no barrier that we can create that's bigger than what you've done for us. And we give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.